You got it wrong, then. At Gage's confused look, I explained. Pranks are always a little mean, a joke at someone else's expense. I held my hand out between us. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Then it's not a prank. It's a surprise. You gave me your mother's ring, I said, looking at my hand on his shoulder, the way the big diamond sparkled against the dark blue of his suit. I knew how much it meant that he'd not just asked me to marry him. He'd asked with this ring, his mother's ring. She'd love you wearing it. Both of them would have loved you. You're smart and stubborn, and just the sound of your voice makes my heart beat faster.
Gage, I whispered, more tears spilling over my cheeks. I didn't want to cry, but my heart was so full I couldn't hold it in.
When I came back to Winter's house, he said, I was a mess. I wanted to get my life back, and I had no clue where to start. Then you were here, and I knew that whatever else happened, as long as I was with you, everything would be all right. I'm still a mess, but if we're together, I'll get through.
Always. You'll always have me, I promised. And you're not a mess. Neither am I. We're just two people doing the best we can.
Angel,
Gage whispered, and his mouth took mine. I understood why Amelia had shut the door when Gage backed me to the couch, his hands on the belt of my robe.
Have I ever told you how much I love this robe?
This robe? I asked, a little breathless from his kiss. I looked down at the bulky waffle-weave white cotton in confusion. Gage peeled it off to reveal a white silk, knee-length slip. It wasn't terribly revealing, but it was sexier than my normal white cotton. His eyes dilated, and he drew in a breath.
This robe,
he confirmed, dropping it to the floor and examining me in the white silk.
It covers everything, and only I know what you're hiding underneath.
With one finger, he traced my shoulder, sliding under the narrow strap of the slip and flicking it off to fall to my arm. The silk slid, hanging on the tip of my breast. Gage nudged it all the way down, burying me. He stared down, his eyes hot and intent, a mix of love and lust that had me melting. I went to work on his tie, tugging at it. I still hadn't gotten the hang of stripping him out of his suits, but I was getting faster. His jacket was on the floor, his shirt mostly open. When he stepped out of his suit pants, pulled my underwear over my hips, and dragged me to the couch. I was on his lap, straddling him, while we were both still half-dressed. Neither of us cared. His thick cock was right there, pressing between my legs. I'd worry about our clothes later. I rose up on my knees and shifted over him until the head of his cock touched my sex. Sinking down slowly, I let out a long groan against his neck. Nothing felt as good as Gage, inside me, filling me. He was a part of me, my heart, and when he made love to me, I felt him in every bit of me, body and soul. Gage loved for me to be on top, but he couldn't help taking over. His big hands closed over my hips, and he fucked his cock up into me, grinding into my clit, making me cry out his name. We didn't last long. I meant to. I tried to hold out. But the way Gage held me against him, whispering in my ear how much he loved me, was too much. I came in a rush that took me by surprise, my body squeezing his until he followed me with a hoarse shout. As soon as we had our breath back, Gage stood, setting me on my feet. Carefully, he pulled the strap of my slip back up over my shoulder and wrapped me in my robe, loosely belting it at my waist. He didn't bother with his suit jacket, but put his pants back on, even stopping to straighten the pillows. My heart squeezed with love. I knew Gage wouldn't care if we left our clothes littering the library, but I might die of embarrassment if I knew Mrs. W. had found them in the morning. Gage took my left hand, raising it to his lips, and kissed the ring he'd placed on my finger.
Soon, he said in his low rumble, I don't care if it's big or small, but I want to marry you soon.
Here, I answered. Next month when the peonies are blooming in the garden, just family. I don't want a big show, I just want you.
Done, Gage said. I'll get Mrs. W. on it tomorrow, first thing. You get Amelia, Charlie, and Maggie to help you find a dress. He paused and tugged the lapel of my robe. Or just get married in this. As long as you're there, waiting for me, it'll be the best day of my life.
My eyes misted with tears, and I didn't see him move as he scooped me into his arms and strode for the door. The hall beyond was empty, the house quiet. When Gage turned for the stairs, I let out a little sound of protest. He silenced me with a firm kiss and said, "Not tonight, Angel. Tonight, you sleep with me." I didn't argue. I'd resisted sleeping in Gage's bed, because I hadn't wanted to come to him there as another man's wife, no matter the circumstances. But now I was my own. Anthony was gone, and I'd pledged myself, heart and soul, to Gage. He carried me up to his suite, our suite, and didn't put me down until we were in the bedroom. I watched him strip off his suit with hungry eyes, and knew we wouldn't sleep all night. This time, for the best reason of all, love.
This has been an Audible Studios production of The Billionaire's Angel, Scandals of the Bad Boy Billionaires novel, written by Ivy Lane, performed by C.J. Bloom and Beckett Greylock. Executive producers, Rena Seth and Mike Charzik. Producer, Neil Basic. Copyright 2017 by Ivy Lane. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc. If you enjoyed this audiobook, be sure to get more books in the Scandals of the Bad Boy Billionaires series today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.